Also the monastery in Newbury, so it's quite popular now. So the community is about, when I first went there, it was about 2 or 3 Sangha member. Now it's about 12. Once the new center is completed and built, because we have 2 major projects, there's one is finishing and one is starting pretty soon next year, or actually this year, but it's 2020. So once it's completed, we will have up to about maybe 48 plus monks, nuns and laypeople staying there practicing. So it will be quite a large community here. So I'm getting a bit worried. But it's okay, I'm happy to stay and support, because there is a lot of interest in the Dharma practice, especially meditation. And I notice a lot of people that come in to the monastery and also the Buddhist Society of Victoria, they're very tired, they burn out, and they need some guidance and some teaching to find a sense of peace, happiness and freedom. So I see establishing and starting a monastery is very powerful, because a lot of people will benefit, and I'm seeing a lot of result now, because I've seen this place is running very well, and I see Newbury Monastery is running very well too. So I've seen people coming in, I see the change, become more happier. As they become more happier, their health improve, and their mental well-being improve too. Because a monastery is the teaching of the heart and also the mind. So if we take care of our heart, we take care of our mind, take care of our body. So it's very important with meditation. We come here to let things go and to settle the mind, because we are very busy, we have a lot of commitment, and sometimes if we get overburdened, it's always good to just learn to let things go and let things be, because the world is always very uncertain, there's always be conflict. Since man pick up the stone and rock, there's always conflict. So conflict is always a part of nature. But as for Buddhists, we learn to be peaceful. I learned to let go, that what we cannot control. What we can control is our own peace of heart and mind. Okay, so it's always good to start with the Metta Sutta, chanting the Buddhist words on loving kindness, just to remind ourselves to develop that kindness and that compassion in our heart. So we start with the Metta Sutta chanting in English. Okay. So there's a sheet here. So please join in. Okay.
This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let they not do the slightest thing that the wise that later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy, whatever living beings they may be, whether they are weak or strong, or a meeting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, let all beings be happy, let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state, let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with her boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness and over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unburdened, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing, walking, or sitting or lying down, free from healthiness. This to sustain this recollection, this to be the supply abiding, thy not holding to refuse, the pure hearted one, having clarity of vision, free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I guess some people here are regulars, and there's some new people. But it's good to have a medium-sized community here. Yeah? I mean, a group here. Some of the groups that we get in Melbourne. Pretty large, and sometimes I have large group come in, I tend to get a bit nervous, but there's something I have to work through, so being sometimes managing a place or being in charge of a community, in the beginning it was quite nerve-wracking because I was only a four-wasa monk, and it's quite difficult, but it's something that I have to learn through teaching, talking to people, know what works, and overcome our own fear. So even as monastic, we tend to get a bit nervous sometimes. But sometimes we have to work through with our these defilements, and we work through our defilements. It's easy to understand where this fear is coming from. You see, the fear is coming from a sense of self, and the sense of self is quite strong. It always comes up in the thoughts and the emotion. So when that arises, it becomes a very powerful object to watch and observe and to learn to calm the mind and let it go. So when the more we can let go of this emotion of fear, of uncertainty and of anxiety, then we become peaceful. But as a monastic, we're meant to practice what we teach, or teach what we practice, sorry. So even myself, I'm still learning, but I mean, as for supporting a new community, so when the defilements are very strong, I have to apply it and really practice. When I show that there's confidence in me and I'm stable, then other people have faith to realize this teaching does work, and they inspire, and they look forward to understand what the monastic is teaching. So it's very important when fear to arise, never run away from it. Face it, understand it with a calm, clear mind. With a mind that's calm and clear from defilements, then wisdom will arise naturally. Wisdom will arise not from thinking, but from a clear, calm, peaceful mind. Clear from the anxiety of strong worry, of nervousness. Because when I was a layperson, I was so nervous that my hands shake, and I worry so much, I get a headache. Then it actually affected my health, so I was a bit sickly, and came from just being anxiety, having panic attack. So I started learning meditation. After a while, my panic attack and my nervousness disappear. And interesting thing is, as the fear disappears and the anxiety disappears, then my health improved. Then these days, my health is pretty good now. I hardly get sick. Maybe I might get sick for maybe once a year, but it tends to recover very rapidly. So if I take care of my own mental well, my health improve. It's quite interesting because sometimes we have people coming in to the monastery and they don't have much to long to live, and they learn to let go of this fear and anxiety. Then later on, after a while, they come back again and again. It's just when you take care of your mental well-being and your heart, then your immune system becomes very strong. So that's one thing I noticed. You take care of your heart and your mind, then your body will have a strength to overcome any sickness. So one thing, that's why I like becoming monastic and practicing, because I find my health is pretty more healthier than when I was a lay person. It's quite interesting how things work. So that's one thing I noticed as a monastic, so that's why I like share with people. So people ask me why I become a monastic, because I want to be happy and well. Okay, so I haven't been back here for 1 year, just under a year. So Doug, do we normally do the guided meditation first or more introduction? Guided meditation? Okay, so this technique that I teach is mainly for beginners. So for a few beginnings here, these are very simple guided meditation. But it's also a very powerful meditation technique, because it allows the mind to become calm and peaceful, and allow the body to become relaxed, and also let go of any of tension from this body. Because the aim of meditation is to calm the body and relax it. With our thoughts and our thinking process, is something that is always very strong, because since we are young, we are conditioned to think a lot, to make our view very strong, to plan, to be very smart, to have a strong willpower, to achieve, to really go for what we want. That sometimes willpower and ego just really drive forward and get what we want and achieve what we aim for. But the problem is sometimes this process of trying to be the best of the best, it might not be productive. If we want to calm the mind and let go and allow things to have a break. So what meditation does is it's allowed our thinking process to rest and to settle, and allow the mind to be calm. I was looking at the internet, saying, okay, I wonder how much do we think. I know we do think a lot. I used to think a lot more as a layperson, and also worry a lot. So actually maybe a big headache. So I was looking at the internet, and the scientists say that the average human being have about 50,000 thoughts a day. So that is roughly about 2,500 thoughts an hour. So that is a lot of thinking and wondering. So if the plan is to stop thinking completely, that won't work. But if we want to calm the mind and make it calm and peaceful, and slowly be aware of this body, be aware of our thoughts, and let it really settle, then that's what meditation is. Meditation is learning to calm the body, relax the mind, and allow things to settle. So when we settle our mind, we settle this body, then we find that inner peace and happiness. From a mind that's free from our chaotic thoughts, or our uncontrollable mental thinking. Because when we think too much, when we worry too much, it does affect our health. If we think too much, it becomes anxiety or panic will arise. So if we can calm and rest our mind, then we can slowly purify our mind. So think of, when we eat well, when we exercise, we have a healthy body. When we calm the mind and let it rest, we have a mind that's free from the gross defilements of anger and greed and fear. So meditation is basically cleaning our mind. So we take a shower to clean this body, after we work hard or after exercise, the meditation is to clean our mind. So we do a good job of taking care of this body, if exercise, good food, and washing this body, but we have to do the same thing with our mind. So we have to clean our mind and free our mind from defilements as much as possible. Okay, so this is the reason why a lot of people do meditation these days. Meditation has been quite very popular. I think something I heard about 500 million people around the world is doing meditation. It's become very popular. And it's like a multi-billion dollar industry. But for Buddhist monk, we do things for free. So we don't really ask for much. That we only ask for is to come and support us and just feed us in return for some teaching. So we're pretty high, low maintenance. Okay, so can we just turn on the light here and we can start the meditation? Thank you. Okay, so to start the meditation, first we sit comfortable, and we gently close our eye. So with our eye closed, we become grounded within this body. So our feet should be nice and comfortable. Our back should be nice and straight, but not too straight. Relax and comfortable. So we slowly bring our awareness to our face. We take a deep breath, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out, relax, relax. Breathe in, peace. Breathe out, relax. Breathe in, peace. Breathe out, letting go. And just breathe naturally, breathe gently. So with the awareness grounded with this body in front of our face, first we learn to relax our face. So relax our top of our head, relax. Relax our forehead. We relax our face. We relax our jaw. And relax our back of our head. In that way, we feel our body. We feel anything that is tension or stiff, and we just relax. Relax our face. Relax our head. Relax. Relax. Allow our face to be at ease. Now, we gently bring our awareness to our neck. We relax our neck. Relax. Rest our neck. Relax. Now, we gently bring our awareness to our back. Upper back is nice and straight but not too rigid, and we relax our upper back. Relax, relax our back. we gently bring our awareness to our right and our left shoulders. So we work hard, we have a very busy schedule, and if we have too many arguments with other people at work or family, it can be a bit tense. But don't worry, that's normal. It's part of the world, conflict. But the best thing now, we learn to relax. So relax our right and relax our left shoulders. Let it rest, let it sag. Relax our upper body. Relax, let it drop. Let it bring it down. Make sure it's not stiff. Relax our upper left and right shoulders. Now, we gently bring our awareness to our right and our left arms. Relax our right and left arms. Make sure it's nice and comfortable. It's not tense. Loosen it. Relax our arms. Especially if we use it a lot for manual labor. Sometimes it's time to relax our arms. Relax. 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 Now, we gently bring our awareness to our hands, to our right and left hands. Should be nice and comfortable, should not be tense. Loosen our hands, loosen our fingers, relax our hands, relax our fingers, let go of the tension. If there's any pain, from our wrist, let it go, let it be. Relax our hands, relax our fingers, allow it to slowly fade away. We gently bring our awareness to our lower back. Our lower back should be rested at our back of our seat. Should be straight but not too rigid. Yep. We relax our upper lower back. Just relax. Let go of any tension. If you feel any tension, just let it go. Please don't hold on to any tension, especially if you have any back pain. Let it be. Pain is something that's normal, but we don't have to carry the pain in our back. We let it go. We let go of any stiffness. Yeah. Having this body can be quite tiring, but we don't have to mentally carry it with us. We let go of our back. Relax our back. Now, we gently bring our awareness to our tummy. So our tummy should be, if it's too tight, you can just loosen your belt and make sure you're not too tight. Just relax your tummy. Especially if you finish your dinner, then you can just relax your tummy. For monks, we don't have much to eat in the evening, so we don't have to have a tummy that's working all the time. So our tummy is quite light and free. So we relax our tummy. Relax, relax, relax. Now, we gently bring our awareness to where we're sitting on our chair. And we just relax our lower bottom. Make sure it's not tight, it's loose, it's not stiff. Just relax our lower back where we're sitting on the chair. And if you need to, please move your leg. Make it as comfortable as possible and just relax where we're sitting on the chair or the cushion or on the floor. Now we gently bring our awareness to our legs. Make sure our leg is relaxed. Our legs does do a lot of work. We wake up with the work, come back from work, and come over here. So it's good to relax our leg. Relax our right and left legs. Make sure it's nice and loose, it's free of any tension. If there's any tension there, it's okay. It's a lot of tension to be there. And slowly just relax. Allow the tension to slowly become free. Now, we slowly make our way down. Gently bring awareness to our feet. Feet is a part of the body that will work the hardest, so it's good to relax our feet now. Relax our sole, our feet, relax our toes, so relax our right and left feet. Make sure it's not stiff or cramped, and slowly allow it to rest and disappear. So with our lower body and our upper body relaxed and comfortable, so we can slowly become peaceful, slowly fade away in the background. So with our body relaxed, our mind can be more relaxed now and more peaceful. Because what is worse is our body is tenser, then our mind won't be relaxed. If our body is relaxed, then the mind can be peaceful. So it's very powerful. This body awareness is very basic, but if the body is relaxed, then the mind can be at peace easily. Yeah. Because I did a lot of meditation, and when people sit, they feel a lot of pain and stiffness in the body, because they have not relaxed the body yet. And sometimes we have a very busy mind, a very busy life. Our body can be a bit intenser, so we relax our body. So I'll bring awareness to our chest. May we breathe, we are aware of our breathing. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. as we breathe in, we breathe in peace. And we breathe out, relax. We breathe in calm. We breathe out, letting go. So we relax our chest. We use our breathing to relax this body. Now we gently bring our awareness back up to our face. Now, with this body relaxed, we can do the work of calming the mind down. With this body relaxed, we are now more aware of our breathing. So we just breathe naturally. Breathe calmly, breathe peacefully. So it's always good to remind ourselves, breathe in peace, breathe out letting go. Breathe out, letting go. Breathe in calm. Breathe out, relax. Just breathe naturally. Just be aware of breathing. Just be aware of this body. And just relax this body as much as possible. As this body becomes relaxed, we can relax our mind, relax our thinking. We allow our mind, our thinking to slowly become calm and peaceful. Our thoughts are always very busy, but the goal of meditation is not to stop the thoughts, it's to allow the mind to become peaceful and allow our thoughts to slowly calm. Thoughts will be like an echo in the background. You'll wander to past and future. That's fine. So just gently bring our thoughts, our awareness back to this body. Back to the breath. And we use this body and our breath to slowly calm our mind and calm our thoughts. So we can feel peace and freedom from a busy and chaotic mind. Taste of happiness and freedom from a mind that's free from worry and anxiety. breathe naturally. Yeah? Just be aware of our breath, breathing in and breathing out. And relax. Relax as much as possible. Allow our thoughts to slowly calm down, then our awareness will slowly become strong. As our thoughts become more calm, as we become more peaceful, then the awareness will become stronger. Not from willpower, from a still mind. When there's a still mind, then the mindfulness will be there. A mind is scattered. It's a mind that's wandering. A mind that's calm and peaceful. It's a mind that's aware. So, let go of the past. Let go of our future. This present moment awareness is the most important time. Learn to be free. Learn to be happy. Learn to be calm and peaceful. Learn to be still. When we calm and we are still, we see things more clearly with a clear mind. calm mind. Learn to relax his body. Learn to let go of any tension. To be aware of our breathing in and out. So when our mind is calm, we are more aware of our breathing. Breathing will be always be there. We don't have to use willpower to see our breath. When the mind is calm, the breathing will always be there. Use this breath to calm the mind and to calm the body. If you need to, breathe in deep breath and breathe out long breath. So when we breathe deeply and breathe out deeply, then we can use the breath to calm. Sometimes people say, relax and just breathe, take a deep breath. So the same thing, we use our breathing to calm this body and to relax. find your thoughts, it's still scattered. It's normal. You see, we have a busy schedule. Our mind is still scattered. But we use this body and our breath to bring awareness back and slowly to allow our thoughts to slowly calm. Our thoughts is like almost our like a child, those always demanding attention. We think so much that it's actually we're so busy with so many thoughts and ideas and feelings and ideas. It's like a child in our mind that never stop nagging and complaining. So we send some loving kindness, compassion to oneself, and slowly allow our busy, crazy mind to slowly calm, relax. It's always good to have loving kindness to oneself, to forgive oneself for any misfortune or shortcoming that we did to ourselves and other people. Always give forgiveness to oneself. Forgive oneself for any hurt that we've done to other people and to ourselves. Learn to please let it go. Don't carry any hurt with us. Even myself, supporting a busy monastery, I get so many complaints. I'm not perfect. I do make mistakes. So when people shout at me and scold me, I have to give loving kindness to myself and learn to forgive myself, because I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. I learn to let things go, forgive myself, forgive other people. But most important, let things go. It's not our problem, it's not our business. The problem with the world is none of our business. We let it go. We let it go, then we are free. When we are free, then we have more energy to do the right thing. time to time. So it's good, just reflect on this body and notice if any part of this body is still tense or not relaxed. And we bring the awareness to the part of our body here that's still a bit tense or a bit of pain. We try and relax it as much as possible. Any stiffness, just relax. Relax any stiffness. Any pain, just learn to let the pain go. Or accept the pain. Time to time, slowly bring the awareness back to our breath. Let's be aware of our breath, breathing in and breathing out. We ground our awareness within this body and mind and our breathing, then things become more settled. Things become more settled, we become more clear and aware of this body and mind. It's not settled, then we just learn to relax. relax. And always bring awareness back to our breathing. So we use our breathing to calm this mind, to calm this body. We are calm and peaceful. There's a lot of safetyness. We feel free. We feel safe. We feel unburdened. We feel relaxed. We feel we're not carrying the burden of life with our mind all the time. It's training to let things go. Meditation is not about holding things tight, yeah. It's learning to let things go. Finish our meditation in a few minutes. So now just enjoy the quietness of the moment and the peacefulness of the moment. Just enjoy the calmness of the mind and body. Just learn, just relax, just let go. Just really relax our back, relax our body, just really let things sag. let's enjoy this moment before we finish our meditation. Enjoy the quietness and the calmness of the moment. What I do, I'll ring the gong 3 times. So listen to the gong, and just after the 3rd ring, then gently, carefully come on meditation. And just sit quietly. Okay, so I hope that's not too painful. Because sometimes in the beginning, it could be, if you're quite new to this, it might be something you're not used to. My first meditation was quite nice, but also strange. But the more I practice, the more I learn to learn to be with the meditation, and learn to relax, and let go. Then later on, when I become more developed in meditation, so I get out of the monastery, then I start reading books, and start asking the monks about meditation, and they told me a lot of interesting things about deep stillness and peace, things like very deep meditation, and I started really wanting meditation. So after a year of good meditation, it was just wanting good result. Then I suffered for 5 years because I was putting so much willpower to focus on the breath, to get good result. Then one time I got so fed up, I just relaxed and just let go, and I'm not interested in getting good meditation. And I said, why did I get good result in my meditation in the beginning? Because I was learning to let go and relax. I learned to be free and happy. Then the meditation came back. Then after that I realized, oh, now I understand. I didn't put effort in. I just learned to let go. I learned to relax. So I learned to let go. I learned to relax. Then I was happy and free. Then meditation was easy. Because it's not doing meditation. It's allowing meditation, the result to come naturally. Yep. So for anyone that's been doing meditation for a very long time, sometimes we do get into this trap of, okay, sit down, straight, back, watch your breath, breathe in, breathe out, put effort in, stop thinking, don't think. Then what happens is you get a headache, you become very tense. Yep. I mean, I did it for 5 years and I got a headache. And I got so fed up, I just gave up. So when I gave up, then the meditation came back. I realized, oh, okay, I wasn't learning to relax. I was learning to get good results. It became more wanting. So now meditation is just easier now, because I'm not expecting any result. Meditation to me is learning to be free and happy and let go of the burden and stress of life and let go of this body. Because as we all get older, we become more tired. We don't carry this pain in this body with us all the time. We free ourselves. We learn to let go of our tension, let go of the pain of this body, let go of our bodies are getting old, let go of our bodies are sick, let go of our bodies are tired. So when you let go of your body, then you feel more at ease, and you feel free, you feel happy. Meditation is not something special, or any special state, or any awakening experience. It's just learning to be free from our defilements, free from our madness, free from the madness of the world. Yep. Learn not to carry the madness of the world into our mind. Yep. There's nothing you can do with the world. As there's more and more human beings, it's going to be more chaotic. But we can learn to not get sucked into the madness out there. I mean, I went back home to visit my family for the Christmas, and I was watching the news with my family, and I was going, jeez, there's so much problem and issues. And I got sucked into the problem and the drama in the world. Then I realized it's not my problem. I'm a monk. Why I want to get worried about all this problem? Like, I don't use money. I live simply in the forest with one hut. I'm not married. I mean, my responsibility here is to free myself from the stress and worry of this crazy mind, and help and support other people that want to see that freedom too. I mean, there's so many people that's so tired and so over worry and burden with so much problems out there. So a monastery is a refuge and a freedom. That's why I do get tired building a monastery and working hard and listening to people complaining and listening to their problem, they're helping them, then get scolded to them because they're having a hard time. But it's coming for a good intention, because I want people to be happy. I want people to be free. But at the end of the day, I have to take care of myself first. If I take care of myself, then I can help other people. So being a Buddhist monk, that's why we live simply. That's why we have simple robe. That's why we don't have much hair. We don't have watches. We don't carry expensive mobile phone. I mean, the mobile phone we have is basically for the monastery, because we need to do monastery business. We try not to have internet too much. I mean, internet is good to check our email and do monastic duties, to keep in touch with our supporters. But yeah, the internet is so dangerous. There's so much interesting things there, and so much problems there. Yep. So going home and seeing my family having lunch and having dinner, having breakfast, just constantly watching the TV all the time. I was going, oh, this is a bit crazy. Just eating and just watching the news all the time. Yep. Yeah. So I'm very glad that we have a good monastery. And it's a safe place. Yep. And we do have a beautiful retreat center. Anyway, enough of me. Bit of whinging. Sorry. Okay. So, is there any questions? Anyone? Any questions? No questions. Yeah. Yes.
Tell us about Newbury.
Newbury. Oh, okay. Newbury is 150 acres. It's a old motel. It used to be a film set. So they used to have the TV series for Man of Snowy River and a couple of series. And they made two movies over there when it was developing a monastery. So the history of that is quite interesting. The place is considered a Aboriginal holy site. So it's quite a special place. So when I first went to Newbury, I felt like, wow, this is a special place. There's a lot of nice energy there. Because it feels like a monastery up in the hills in China or in Asia. Because you have some monasteries deep in the forest. But the monastery in Newbury, it feels like it's up in the mountain. And it's you can see right out into the forest. In winter we get snow. We get about that much snow, about 2 inches. So the first time I saw snow was in Newbury. So I saw that there's a lot of potential to get a monastery going. I thought it would take about 7 to 10 years just to get anywhere going or get enough support. But we managed to get a stable community and a full community. We have people coming all the time because the monastic they are practicing. We try and live as simple as possible. We devote our time to be by ourselves. Our Dharma practice is the Buddhist teaching in the Vinaya, the monastic training rules. So if we are practicing well, when lay people come in, they can join the monastic in the practice. So the monastic are developing in their practice, and also lay people are getting benefit too in their practice. It's a new community, so it will take time. But we have mature monks from Bodhiyana going over to Newbury to support the community. So it is a growing monastery, and I'm very glad it managed to turn out well, because our monastery is always a place of practice and safety. Because a monastery, it gives a lot of hope to a lot of people out there. There's no hope there, because sometimes the world is a bit of a rat race. Everyone's trying to compete, be the best, or sometimes they just get burned out. So the monastery is a safe place for them to just free themselves from the burden and worry of life, and just have a quiet place just to ground themselves and just come back to oneself and have a taste of peace and freedom to purify their mind. And to ground itself into things that's more important, like their family, things that's worth doing, like giving up any bad habits, and just setting a goal where you become more productive in the wholesome qualities. So it's growing the heart and growing the mind. Not growing the defilements of greed and anger or ego and self, being more humble, be more gentle, be more kind, be more forgiving. Because when we forgive other people, we are free. We forgive ourselves. So it works both ways. We forgive other people and we forgive ourselves. So that way we don't carry any of the hurt or feelings that other people do anything by action, speech, or intention towards us. So, in the monastery, one of the most common things that I heard all the time is just our lay support coming in, talking about family issues or problem at work. These are the two common things that we hear all the time. So sometimes we teach him to learn to develop more loving kindness, to have more forgiveness to other people, but especially to oneself. Please forgive ourselves. We're not perfect. We try our best. So when people put us down, say things to hurt us, we don't carry it. We learn to let it go. So having a calm and still mind does develop those peacefulness state. Because if we're carrying the hurt in our mind, because we're living it over and over again. Yeah. I mean, if I can't learn to let go, I'll probably go mad supporting a monastery. Yeah. So it's very important. So from time to time, I need a break. I come back to Bodhiyana. I mean, in Newbury, there's only about 3 or 4 monks there, and we have a big community of lay supporters. Coming back to Bodhiyana, I can basically disappear because we have about 20 monastic here. Then we have a lot of senior monks. We have very good monks like Ajahn Brown, Ajahn Pamadi, Ajahn Api, Ajahn Sangharatana. And for me, I'm not well known here. I'm a bit more well known in Newbury and also in the Buddhist side of Victoria. So when I come back here, I can be nobody. So I'm nobody, then I can be free. Yep. So sometimes when I walk around, no one care or notice me. So I don't have to basically just entertain people, talk to people, and just come back, stay in the monastery, do a bit of work, get my one meal a day, and just disappear back into the monastery, back into the kuti. And also, with that freedom, we can free our mind from attachment. Yeah. It is hard when you're very busy to have a complete mind that's still and peaceful. That's why time to time it's good to come to a monastery or come to a Buddhist center and practice as a group. Because when you practice as a group, you support one another. And when you around good people, you develop good qualities for one another, and you keep the 5 precepts of not harming other people. So you protect yourself from not doing harm to yourself, but also you protect yourself from not doing harm to other people. So the 5 precepts is very important. For anyone that's new here, the 5 precepts is basically not to kill or hurt any living beings or human beings. So we keep one. That's one of the precepts. The second precept is not to steal or take stuff that don't belong to us. And the first, second precept. The third precept is not to commit any adultery. So if you have one partner, stick to one partner. Don't go around having too many partners, because that can cause a lot of problems and more responsibility. And also it does cause a lot of mistrust. So if you have one partner, stick to one partner. And not to have truthful speech, not to say anything that's not truthful, and also to have right speech, speech of kindness, speech of gentleness, truthful speech. And the last precept, the fifth precept, is not to take drugs and alcohol, because when we take drugs and alcohol, we become very unclear, and we might do things, but we're not intend to do anything to hurt other people, but when we are under drugs and alcohol, we can do something while we're driving and just knock someone over. One of our nuns in Newbury, she's a novice nun. She is Sinhalese. She had one cousin that came over from Sinhalese, from Sri Lanka. She was studying in Melbourne University, and one time she was just walking on a zebra crossing, and some guy that was drunk was speeding and just knocked her over and killed her. And she died instantly. She got hit by a car and flew 20 meters, and she was the only child. So the guy was so drunk he didn't realize what was happening. So that's why we don't drink too much. To get drunk, take drugs, because when people are out of control, they're not in control of their mental faculties. Yeah. So that's why in Buddhism we say don't drink and get so drunk that we're not aware what we're doing. Yeah. I mean, when I was a lay person, I try not to drink. So when I stop drinking, my friend was still drinking, so it's fine. I respect what my friend's doing. But what I do is I'll drive my friends to the party, and once they finish the party, I'll drive them back one by one to their parents' place. So I make sure that they're safe and there's no accident. So So one good thing is I get invited to more parties as a lay person. But also I wanted to protect my friends and other people. Yeah. But also I was happy being free from not drinking or getting completely wasted. I mean, before I was a Buddhist, I used to drink a lot. So when I was working in the mines, I drank so much until I got beer gut. Yep, and yeah, so when I started doing meditation, then I cut down on drinking because I found happiness from having a clear mind. Yep. So I didn't need drugs and alcohol to make me feel free and happy. Yep. The meditation made me feel good and it was natural. Yep. You.
Yes.
Please.
How long do you meditate every day and how long would you recommend beginners to meditate each day?
Usually, if you first start, 5 minutes is good, then 10 minutes. I mean, when I first started, it was about 10 minutes, and it was quite good. I enjoyed it. Then it went to half an hour and got good result. Then I tried even harder, then it went downhill. So I meditate when I'm tired, overwhelmed, a bit stressed, even 5-10 minutes, it was good enough. At work, when I was a lay person, after lunch I'll meditate for 10 minutes, and that was good enough, because it tends to clear my mind, and I become more positive at work. Like I was working to pay off my debt before I joined the monastery, and I remember my supervisor and boss, before I left, resigned and left the company that I was working. He asked me not to go. He asked me to stay here, and I worked with him and the company. He told me something very interesting. He said everyone that he worked with, he found that I was relaxed, happier, and not nervous. I was happy and relaxed person, and it actually made him happy and relaxed at work too. He said people that worked with him in the factory was grumpy, don't want to be there, it's doing it's just Monday to Friday work. They're only doing it because the money's there. But I was just meditating, being mindful, and watching my mental mind. I make sure I did not fall into anxiety or depression on being very negative. So when you're mindful all the time, taking care of your mind, then you're just aware of the work. So my supervisor will put me in any work, any machine, and I always manage to deliver more production. So due to mindfulness and a calm mind, I'll do any task, any job I was given. So it came from my mind is clear, there's just aware and focus. Yep. Not for a mind that's scattered, daydreaming, thinking about problems, or looking at the time going, okay, what time is it? I need to go back home. I was just happy working. I was happy doing overtime. So I made work a part of my practice. Then when you make work a part of your practice, and you make meditation, that's something that you practice once in a while. So depend. I mean, some people, if you're getting good result, please sit for half an hour to 1 hour. If the result is not there, 10 minutes is good enough. Yep. But 10 minutes is sometimes good to get a short meditation, but a peaceful meditation. Then a long meditation where the mind is just scattered all over the place. Yep. Sometimes walking meditation is good. You do walking meditation for 5 minutes, just walking up and down, being aware of the touching of your feet, sensation of your feet, then when your mind is less scattered and more peaceful, then you go to your breath and your breathing. Yep. So when your mind is more relaxed, then your awareness is more stronger, then you become more alive. You feel more, you see more, you'll hear more. Yep. Then life will become like more richer. due to a mind is clearer, peaceful and calm. Yep. So that's why when I went to stay in the monastery and did meditation for like 2 weeks, I felt that happiness and that high in my mental well-being. It's like when I was a lay person, I felt like this pressure on my head all the time, like someone pushing on my head, the heaviness in my head. Then when I stayed in the monastery and practiced for 2 weeks, I felt like a child again, happy and free. That headache was gone. So that's why I say, okay, this is nice. I want to ordain some monastic, and just give this a try, and really power my meditation, and maybe I go back to lay life. But the longer I stay as a monastic, I realize being a monk is good, because you help yourself and you help other people. And it's a very wholesome thing to do, to be. Yeah. Ajahn Brahm did tell me, ordain, practice, help other people. You bring a lot of benefit to other people. And I go, Ajahn, you sure? I'm just a beginner. Yeah. But now supporting the monastery in Newbury, it's good. I go back every year. I see a lot of new people, a lot of old people, and a lot of good supporters. And I see they are developing, become happier and wholesome people. Yeah. And that brings a lot of happiness in my heart. So it works both ways. Yeah. I mean, we get so many people from all different backgrounds coming to the monastery. Some from prison, some from very broken family, some are just completely lost. So they just come in and practice, and they get a bit of peace. A bit of peace and freedom is all they need. To set their goal in line. Okay, so thank you for the being here with the class. It's about 8:25, so I hope I didn't bore people too much. And please forgive me if I say anything wrong, because my intention is always to help people. But being a monastic, it's not, it always never come out perfectly, because I'm not Ajahn Brahm. I'm still learning. Good night.